In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. The Pharisee went up to the temple with a proud and empty heart. The publican bowed himself in repentance. They both stood before the O Master. The one through boasting lost his reward, but the other with tears and sighs won thy blessing. A hymn from Vespers last evening. It is, brothers and sisters, the Sunday of the publican and the Pharisee, a signpost on our journey towards Lent. Looking at the Pharisee, it's a reminder that religious people can be weird, can be strange, present company accepted. And as for the clergy, it is a dangerous thing to talk about God, as a Russian Christian stated in a book during the communist times. It is dangerous to talk about God without being godly, to speak of holy things which are for the holy. The spirit of the Pharisee is ever lurking, ever present. A reminder that putting on robes and crosses should never be about self-promotion. So you could take some comfort that you're not too religious, not too extreme. You might say, I thank God I'm not that religious. I'm not like this Pharisee. Whoops. The Pharisee, brothers and sisters, is an easy target each year at this time. Let's beat up on the Pharisee. We heard in Matins, the Pharisee, exalted by the works of justification, was grievously ensnared in the nets of vainglory through his wild boasting. But the publican was lifted on the light wing of humility, and he drew near to God. The light wing of humility. So today, rather than hammer the Pharisee once more, let's examine a little the light wing of humility. Humility is manifest in practice, not in theory. Just because someone is quiet and reserved doesn't automatically mean that they are humble. One can be quiet and reserved and full of pride and of rebellion from God. Humility is in the commandments. Humble people are commanded people. Commanded people. They have commandments over them. They seek to obey. In Deuteronomy, in the 30th chapter, we read the words of Moses to the people of Israel. He says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. The humble person bows to God's commandments. For what is life without commandments? It is the ultimate pride. It is life without God. It is life without a bowing of the head to anything greater. The proud man listens to no one. He is uncommanded. Humility, on the other hand, is to take counsel. To take counsel, to be open to counsel, to direction. And it would be great if God told us directly, like Moses, what we need to know. But because we are not holy like Moses, we can seek counsel from human sources, like the holy fathers and spiritual fathers, and thereby to trust God that you will be given what you need through a human messenger. The proud, on the other hand, listens to no one except himself. And the proud is satisfied with what he hears about himself. He thanks God that he's not like others. The proud is satisfied with himself when there's not anything to be satisfied about. Resting on his laurels when there are no laurels to rest on. The proud thinks he's strong when he is actually weak. And he thanks God that he is not weak like other men. Pride, brothers and sisters, is a false spiritual state. As the elder Paisias said, God does not give his grace to the proud. He doesn't give his grace to the devil, the proud one. It would not be wanted. It would be wasted. The proud cannot grow spiritually, only the humble. And as the scripture says, God gives grace to the humble. The humble who are dissatisfied with themselves, dissatisfied because they know they fall short of the commandments. The humble seek repentance, and repentance is humbling. The struggle against sin is humbling. The struggle against sin brings humility. One who is struggling in repentance is never too sure of himself. To acknowledge sin is to acknowledge one's weakness. The proud doesn't like that. The proud doesn't like that. The proud doesn't like to acknowledge weakness. The proud does not struggle against sin. The proud one accepts his sins, even embraces his sins. It's just the way I am, he says, and is pleased with himself. And like the Pharisee, he may be a good and upstanding citizen, and people speak well of him. The publican, indeed, was not popular. He was not popular. And his repentance was not beautiful to the human eye, but indeed it was in the eyes of God. About humility, St. Ephrem the Syrian writes, "There is no measure or limit to the beauty of the man who is humble." There is no measure or limit to the beauty of the man who is humble. No passion whatsoever shall be able to draw near unto the man who is humble, and there is no measure to his beauty. The humble man is a sacrifice of God, a sacrifice of God. With him that is humble, the hearts of God and his angels rest. The heart of God and the hearts of God's angels rest upon the humble. This is why it is spiritually unhealthy to teach and promote self-esteem in children without reference to God and sin. Without reference to God and sin. For what is there to be proud of? Our true self-esteem comes from the knowledge that we bear the image of God in us, that we are made in God's image, in the image of God's glory. But that image, that icon, we have tarnished, we have dirtied by our sins. So ours is a tempered self-esteem. We have a dignity, a glory from above, from God, but we have failed to live up to our high calling. A sense of being given a great gift, indeed, the gift of life itself, which we have not handled well. So let us repent. Concluding with another hymn from Matins, let us make haste to follow the Pharisee in his virtues. The Pharisee. Let us make haste to follow the Pharisees in his virtues. The Pharisee boasted, but he did do some of the works of the law. He did tithe. He did fast. He did give, and so forth. His pride spoiled his virtues. Let us make haste to follow the Pharisee in his virtues and to emulate the publican in his humility. And let us hate what is wrong in each of them. Foolish pride in the Pharisee and the defilement of transgressions in the publican. So brothers and sisters, each have their virtues, but they one One did the proper thing with his in humility, and the other, trying to be virtuous, lost it all through pride. Let us indeed embrace the opportunity of Great Lent that's forthcoming, but let us take it on as something that we need to humble us, that we need for humility. Let us not for a moment think that we're going to accomplish something spiritual. Indeed, nothing without God's grace. Without me, you can do nothing, Christ says. And let us indeed prepare to humble ourselves, to repent, to have the spirit of the publican ever with us in the coming weeks ahead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. Amen.